The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The breaking, is it still breaking? I guess it broke a couple hours ago. But Cleveland Browns head coach, Kevin Stefanski, who's done a fantastic job this year, and two additional members of the coaching staff of the Cleveland Browns have tested positive for COVID-19 and will not be available for the AFC wildcard game against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday night if the game remains as scheduled. Two players to test positive are wide receiver Hodge and Pro Bowl guard Bitonio. Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Shell, on the Goodyear hotline. Last year it was a different hotline, but 2020 was a bad year. This is a good year, 2021. But first it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, and I wanted to get into what Joe Judge said yesterday, but I got to talk about the Cleveland Browns right now. Got to talk about the Browns. Boy, that is all kinds of bad news for the Browns. You know, when you think about the what could happen in the first round of the playoffs that would change the way we think about at least a part of the NFL? Well, if the Browns upset the Steelers, I'm not even sure it should be an upset. Steelers win the division with 12 games, but they were really kind of free-falling at the end of the season. What coincided with a tougher part of the schedule was an exhausted Pittsburgh team who had to take their bye week four because of COVID. This is now the third time Pittsburgh will be facing another team that had a COVID issue, and we'll see if their schedule gets changed once again. Pittsburgh keeps getting the short end of the stick there. But you know, it happened against the Titans early. They had to reschedule a game, and then it happened against the Ravens when they were supposed to have a mini bye later on because they played all these weeks in a row just as the schedule got tough. And then they were supposed to host a Thursday game against the Ravens. They had to give that game up. And so, like, they started playing poorly. Part of it was schedule getting tougher. Part of it was the fact that they had to take their bye so early and they were tired. And part of it was they never got a real running game going because they can't block for the run. And Ben Roethlisberger can't throw the ball down the field, or at least he hasn't successfully. Is that because they can't protect him long enough for the receivers to get down there? Or is that because he doesn't have the arm to do it any more accurately? Right? Don't tell me, well, I see him throw it down the field. If a quarterback gets older, he can still muscle it, get some mustard on the ball, but he's not going to be able to throw it as accurately, consistently. And so Pittsburgh was looking bad recently, and meantime, the Browns were looking good. They found an identity as the season wore on. They became, what Mike Tomlin used to say about this, what he said about the Steelers at his introductory press conference when he first got the job. Mike Tomlin said, Steelers football, run the ball, stop the run. It's not Steelers football right now. They're certainly not running the ball. But the Browns are. Cleveland, insofar as they have a defensive strength, it's against the run, and they certainly can run the ball. That's the run the ball, stop the run team. At least that's what they're trying to do. That's their identity. And they're doing it, by the way, with an excellent head coach in Kevin Stefanski, who had a lot of success as the offensive coordinator in Minnesota, but really brought the best out in Baker Mayfield, a guy who had four head coaches in a little over two seasons, and so looked like, if not a first-round bust, certainly a bust is the number one overall pick, but maybe he would settle into being an okay starter. But like Alex Smith, another number one overall pick a long time ago, you know, Alex Smith, remember, he kept recycling through offensive coordinators, so he never really got a rhythm going, never had stability. And once he had a little stability, you could say, oh, Alex Smith, he's not Aaron Rodgers, but he can play. He's a good starter. Baker Mayfield's a good starter. He's a starting quarterback and a nice one in the right situation, which he seems to be in now. And I say all this to say, the reason I'm bringing all this up is the Browns really were poised to win this game. I know a lot of people think, well, they're going to Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is big brother. They got that big brother whammy over the Browns. But I'm telling you, what an upset that would be to the kind of way we think, at least about the AFC North. You know, if not matter and energy, the way we think about the universe, no. But about the way we think about the AFC North, yes, it would change things. Yeah, the 12-win team in the Steelers, two 11-win teams in Baltimore and Cleveland. But suddenly, you know, if the Browns were to win and advance in the playoffs by bumping off the Steelers, Then all of a sudden, it's not like just the Steelers and the Ravens. Little brother done come up in the world. Right now, now the Steelers really got something to worry about going forward. Because the Browns still have all these draft picks and a lot of capital left to spend and resources. They might be good for a while. But instead, think about Cleveland. Instead, they're not going to have their coach. They're not going to have some assistant coaches. They may not have some players. Once they're done contact tracing, who knows, as Jeff Saturday was talking about as this news broke on First Take earlier today, who knows who's going to be able to suit up? Someone's getting screwed here. Like either the Steelers, this game gets postponed somehow, and the Steelers for the third time against a real rival team, right? Because early on, the Titans were a powerhouse, and so were the Steelers, and Titans get COVID, and the Steelers have to miss their bye, and the game gets moved, and then the Ravens, because of COVID issues, the Steelers lose their mini bye again, and the game gets moved. And if now Cleveland, the Steelers are looking, they're like, dude, this keeps on winding up our problem. But worse is if they don't move the game, does Cleveland, how many players are they going to wind up missing? Could you imagine if you're a Cleveland Browns fan right now, just a fan of the team? Do you know what this franchise has been through? Like, you know, in the 80s, Baltimore loses their franchise to Indianapolis, the Colts, right? But then they pick off the Cleveland franchise. Cleveland franchise wound up in Baltimore. But there was such outrage and such a groundswell of support to try to get back the Browns in Cleveland that it actually worked. They didn't get the original franchise back, obviously, but they got the rights to all the history of the Browns franchise. So while it's a new franchise, the original one now in Baltimore, right? They have, the Cleveland Browns. They got the name. They got the history. It's a weird thing, right? How do you have the rights to the history? Well, no, it's the new Cleveland Browns. Back in the day, new Coke, the new Cleveland Browns. And these fans who actually made that happen, that was a grassroots campaign. These fans who've shown up to these Cleveland games come hell or high water all these years with very little hope for any very little promise for the immediate future, the near future. Finally, you look on paper, and I'm telling you right now, the Browns should have been favored to win this game, even though it's at Pittsburgh. Browns have a better team. Certainly, Pittsburgh was favored by 3.5. I thought that was a little bit much. I thought at most 2.5, under a field goal. You want to give them a field goal. But over a field goal, okay, it's still not lopsided, those odds. So if you're a Browns fan, finally, you're going to beat Pittsburgh and advance in the playoffs. The Browns are going to win a playoff game, maybe? And against the Steelers? And instead, who knows who's going to be able to suit up for this game even? Ooh, that's brutal. You ever feel like you get a feeling like some franchises are just snake bit, right? Like the Chargers are a franchise like that. The Jets are a franchise like that. The Browns just feel snake bit. This franchise can't catch a break. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That wasn't even straight talk wireless. No contract, no compromise. I'll give you some straight talk wireless, no contract, no compromise coming up. Joe Judge, the Giants' head football coach, was asked whether he thought the Eagles did anything wrong in terms of how they approached the game two nights ago when Doug Peterson, the Eagles head coach, opted late in the game. It was the end of the third or beginning of the fourth quarter. It was about a quarter left of football. Opted to yank the starter, the second round draft pick, the guy who's going to take the team over from Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts, who, in spite of his poor play as the game wore on, was the reason they were even in it. They were down a field goal, and they could have tied it up. It was a chip shot. They decided not to kick the field goal to go for it, but it was a close game, competitive game, and Hurts had chances to win. And rather than find out if Hurts could deliver a win against a divisional rival with playoff hopes on the line, or with the playoffs on the line, rather than find out if Hurts could orchestrate a fourth quarter comeback against a team, without all his guys even, against a team with playoffs on the line, a divisional rival in prime time, rather than find that out, Joe Judge puts in the third stringer, Sudfeld, saying that he wanted to take a look, see what the guy, he was going to evaluate the third string guy. Never mind the second round pick who's starting. Never mind that guy who gives you a chance. It's time to evaluate the third string guy. And since no one bought that excuse, everyone assumed it was a tank job to get better draft position. Better draft position? What, to go from 9th to 6th? I had a bunch of people on Twitter. Oh, yeah, look, here are all the number six picks. Here are all the number 9 picks. But Howie Roseman passed on Metcalf and Justin Jefferson recently in the draft. Roseman hasn't selected a Pro Bowler in 5 years. Roseman's better off picking 9th than 6th. Let someone else make a mistake. The guy who he wouldn't have taken will fall to him. He's better off. Anyway, so the question was asked of Giants head football coach Joe Judge. Do you think the Eagles did anything wrong in how they approached the game? And here's Joe Judge's answer.
There's a number of sacrifices been made by all the players and coaches in this league. There's a number of sacrifices that come along as well with the family members of the people connected to them. To disrespect the effort that everyone put forward to make this season a success for the National Football League, to disrespect the game by going out there and not competing for 60 minutes and doing everything you can to help those players win, we will never do that as long as I'm the head coach of the New York Giants.
So Joe Judge says his team's always going to compete. When he's asked about the Eagles, on Monday, they're always going to compete. You just heard it. We'll never do that as long as I'm head coach of the New York Football Giants, right? Or the New York Giants. I added football. It sounds cooler when you add football. Many Eagles players and coaches, according to the reporting, were shocked and outraged, team sources told the Inquirer, the Philly Inquirer. Some were angry. Two defensive players had to be held back from approaching Peterson. Center Jason Kelsey. Well, those Kelsey brothers, Jason and Travis Kelsey, keep it real. I like those guys. And they're really good. Obviously, Travis Kelsey, but Jason Kelsey too. And another offensive starter, along with Jason Kelsey, went to the coach to ask him why he pulled the starting quarterback with the Eagles trailing by only 3. How do you face the team after that? Here's the crazy thing, though. You just heard the Joe Judge sound. I have a good mind to play it again, but you just heard the Joe Judge sound. If I told you, I can't remember a time, maybe there has been, I'm sure there has been, I can't remember it offhand, where a head coach in either baseball, a manager or a head coach in basketball or football, in Major League Baseball, the NBA, or the NFL, talked about a rival head coach like that. I mean, he didn't mention him by name, but it's obvious who he's talking about. He was asked about it point blank. But let alone a divisional rival. But how about this? If you did hear that sound, and you hear it's not unanimous. Not everyone's praising Joe Judge. We had a lot of guys on First Take, Jeff Saturday and Swagoo. Marcus Spears were, along with Stephen A. Smith, were saying, no, it's no big, Joe Judge shouldn't say that and this and that. The vast majority of football fans and people in the media, and I think players too, the overwhelming response, there's never unanimity about anything, but the overwhelming response was right on Joe Judge. And here's the thing. If you heard that and you knew the response to a coach saying that was overwhelmingly positive, and you knew that one of the coaches had won a Super Bowl in the last 5 years, and the other coach is a rookie head coach, who would you guess is who? Right? Wouldn't you be like, obviously the Super Bowl coach can say that about a rookie head coach. Rookie head coach wouldn't say that about a Super Bowl winning coach. It was so egregious. And I don't think that's just Joe Judge talking as the Giants head coach. Football people, by and large, feel that way. It was so egregious that the rookie talks about the Super Bowl winner like that, and everyone's like, yep, he's dead on. Guys, think about this for a second. And Marcus Spears was arguing with me, talking about how I'll say that this year it wasn't going to be perfect because of COVID, and you and the Denver Broncos played without a quarterback, and I said, that, you know, them's the breaks. And how is this different? This is totally different. This is totally different. You're dealing with a pandemic. You're trying to get through a season against all odds. It's not going to be perfect. You're going to have to play some games, and guys who are it's basically like just being hurt, right? If you get sick or just being sick. That's how the league had to treat it if they tried to get through the season. I have no problem with that. Yep, Denver had to play without a quarterback. Tough. That's totally different than, I mean, Joe Judge's whole point is, look at everything we've been through. And now a coach pulls that stunt? And by the way, here's the problem, everybody. No one believes he wanted to take a look at Sudfeld. Come on. You need to evaluate your second round pick. You need to know if you're the Eagles, because Carson Wentz is finished. Certainly in Philadelphia, but I'm telling you, he'd never be a good quarterback again. And I've been, it's not like I'm Johnny come lately on this. I've been pulling that bandwagon, noticing the decline from the second half of last year, arguing with Dan Orlovsky about it on the air on First Take the whole time. And then this year, I just saw it continue until it all went to hell. Look, Peterson's a good coach. I'm not saying Doug Peterson's not a good coach. He is a good coach. Anytime he gets a quarterback, whether it's a 40-year-old quarterback on one leg in the playoffs, or whether it's Nick Foles or Jalen Hurts, they do very well with Doug Peterson as a head coach and a quarterback who will simply follow a game plan. It's Wentz that threw the monkey wrench in everything. So I think Peterson's a good coach, but not for this team. Not anymore. You can't do that and still, like, you got to get rid of him. And you got to get rid of Howie Roseman, too. The only thing I could see saving Doug Peterson is if he came out, or if it came out, that his hands were tied and this was the plan and he was told what to do and he had to do it. Because remember, this was a coach that was not allowed to pick his own staff. So, you know, maybe that's the case. If that's the case, okay. And even then, the stench is just too strong. May have to get rid of him. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. By the way, speaking of COVID, Kevin Durant is facing a 7-day quarantine, according to our very own Adrian Wojnarowski. It's going to force him to miss the next 4 games. Durant, who had COVID-19 in May, has continued to register coronavirus antibodies and tested negative for the virus 3 times in recent days, sources said. And by the way, the Nets have not been playing well. Our very own Bobby Marks said that they're playing soft. And meantime, the Knicks are playing hard. Tom Thibodeau team. Tom Thibodeau will play you hard. He'll play you so hard you won't have anything left for the playoffs. But the bottom line is about the Knicks, they are hoping to compete for the play-in. Not the playoffs, the play-in. Maybe the Knicks can be in the play-in game. Understand there are 15 teams in a conference. 10 of them, or 8 of them are in the playoffs, plus you got a play-in game. So that means 2/3 of the conference is still playing after the season ends. And the Knicks are just hoping not to be one of the 5 teams who don't even get to play after the season's over. They're just like, oh, if we can keep this up, R.J. Barrett and and Emmanuel Quickley and these guys. By the way, I like Quickley. I like some of these guys, but you know, maybe we can make it to the playing game. The Nets are like, damn, we lost Dinwiddie for the season. An all-star caliber player in his best season, right? Dinwiddie, who's an above-average player at the most competitive position in basketball, if not in sports today. Most competitive positions, quarterback in the NFL or point guard in the NBA. Those are 2 most competitive positions in sports, where if you're like, I'm an above-average starter, damn, you're good. Dinwiddie was an above-average starter. By the way, Dinwiddie, LeVert, Joe Harris, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving, most unguardable starting 5 in the NBA. And not close. Not close. No starting 5 is nearly in the same hemisphere as those 5 in terms of being an unguardable offense, right? Unguardable. What can you do? In fact, I think that it should have been Dinwiddie off the bench and LeVert in the starting lineup, right? But it doesn't matter because that's a huge hit for any team to take. And I'm telling you right now, Dinwiddie gone for the season. The Nets are going to compete for a championship this year. They're losing all kinds of games, and Kyrie is dominating the ball, and he's shooting too much, and KD isn't shooting enough, and they're not playing defense, and they're being called soft, and one of their best players is out for the year. He ain't coming back, and they're going to compete for a championship this season. And the Knicks fans are, oh, Knicks fans, everyone's hopes are up. Compete for a playing game. Play in, not off. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. That was straight talk. See, that's straight talk, New York. I know you listen in New York. L.A., I got stuff for you in a little bit. We're going all over the place. NFL, Chargers job. Lots of stuff going on.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Who is the best coach to make sure Justin Herbert fulfills his potential? I'm going to get to that in a second. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. See where Eric Bieniemy should land. The NFL playoffs kick off this week. We've got Ravens-Titans this Sunday at 1:05 p.m. Eastern on ABC, ESPN, and ESPN Deportes. And the ESPN Megacast broadcast continues on ESPN2, ESPN Plus, and Freeform. All right. Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy is the big name being considered for several head coaching jobs, vacancies, you know. And this is the way it works nowadays. Nowadays, it is in vogue to go to the offensive coordinator of the team who has, you know, the hottest offense, particularly if that guy's never had an NFL head coaching job, right? Because there's potential. And he becomes the hot commodity. And by the way, this is significant because, you know, racists or just stereotypes along the lines of race can be pernicious and pervasive. You know, they're all over the place in ways people don't really realize. And I think that that's one of the reasons you have the kind of discrepancy in terms of hiring white versus black. Like, we can talk about diversity, you know, for diversity's sake, but what we're really talking about is African-American diversity. Like, in a league that's predominantly African-American, they're on the field way underrepresented in head coaching positions. Is that because they just don't know how to coach? No. It's because, if you believe that, I what can I, you know, we're at an impasse. Or is it because of decision makers and you know, either conscious or unconscious biases? And one of the things you notice is in terms of offensive coordinators nowadays, that is, you don't see a lot of African-American offensive coordinators. And so it's interesting to me that now that the number one offense has an African-American offensive coordinator, it has taken a while for that guy to kind of be the guy. But I think he is now. I think of all the non-kind of sexy college football names, Bieniemy is the most obvious choice that teams want. And who are these teams? There are three vacancies right now. There is the Jets' job. Sam Darnold is your quarterback. You have an irrelevant franchise that has been, you know, all cities that have two franchises in any given sport, most of the time there's the Heritage franchise and the Clown franchise. You know, the problem with New York City is the Knicks were both the Heritage franchise and the Clown franchise because there was no other franchise in town. Now that the Nets are there, you can see the Knicks are the Clown franchise. Meantime, the Jets have always been the Clown franchise in New York. The Giants are the Heritage franchise and the Jets are the Clown franchise. And they have really not been relevant, not really, since Super Bowl III, which is before I was born, talking about 50-plus years ago, over half a century. Here and there, they pop their heads up, you think, but when was the last time you thought, I think the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl? Jets fans, not you! Jets fans are hilarious, by the way. I don't know if the rest of the country knows this, but Jets fans, like, one win, and they think they're going to win the Super Bowl, and one loss, and they want to tear it all down. Oh, the highs and the lows. But the fact of the matter is the Jets are who they are, and they have a problem from the top on down, from ownership on down. It's not a good franchise. the Chargers head coaching job. Look, you're in L.A., and you have a quarterback whose floor, to me, seems to be Matthew Stafford, if he stays healthy, and whose ceiling is way higher than that, and who's been compared, and on First Take, he's been compared, and Get Up on ESPN, he's been compared to both Patrick Mahomes and Dan Marino. I don't think he's Mahomes or Marino, but I understand why you compare him to those guys. Like, he has that, he has the kind of talent that makes you compare him to those kind of players. If your ceiling is the best ever and your floor is, say, Stafford if you stay healthy, that's a damn good quarterback. And then you have the Jaguars, who not only are going to have Trevor Lawrence, but also have a ton of draft picks, slew of picks, and $100 million in cap space to spend. What's the best job? We need to run it through the ZipRecruiter job search engine. Raj, go ahead, hit Raj, my producer in LA. I'm in New York. This is how it works during COVID. I'm going to have to ask you from your remote location to hit go on the ZipRecruiter job search engine. Go. Let's hear it. And we're having a little bit of audio difficulty. So I'm going to assume, Raj, that we have heard the ZipRecruiter engine. I don't know if you're talking at the moment. But let me just tell you what I'm reading on my screen, okay? On my screen, it's coming up. And it says, Chargers head coaching job, Raj. The Chargers are the place for Bieniemy to go. By the way, we didn't even talk about the Texans. The Texans are a good choice. And you have Deshaun Watson, and that's tough to argue again, but let me explain the reasoning of the ZipRecruiter job search engine, okay? The Jaguars are still the Jaguars. You're in Jacksonville. You're not in L.A. And if Trevor Lawrence turns out to be everything people think he's going to be, he'll be Justin Herbert, who's already that. Chargers have talent on both sides of the ball. They're in the second biggest market in the country, and in addition to that, they're only the fourth most popular football team in L.A. Let me tell you, or the fourth most popular football franchise in L.A., where the L.A. fans root for. The number one football franchise L.A. fans root for is actually the Raiders still. I mean, the Raiders, who haven't been in L.A. in a grip, who were, you know, up in Northern California, and they're now out of state, still get the biggest kind of passionate response, the most passion from fans. The Rams, who've been to a Super Bowl recently and are actually the heritage franchise in L.A., where they're the longest, were the oldest franchise and all that. And the Trojans, all more popular than the Chargers in Los Angeles. But actually, that works because the pressure's off. You get to be in L.A., you get to have a great young quarterback, a talented franchise, and no pressure. In a way, no pressure. It's all upside. In second place would be the Texans because Deshaun Watson is a stud. But the Texans have made so many bad trades. That trade for DeAndre Hopkins, when they traded DeAndre Hopkins, really hurt them. And you want no part of the Jets. So there it is. ZipRecruiter job search engine has decided. Not me. This is not just my opinion. This is the ZipRecruiter job search engine, Raj. I don't know if I've made that clear. By the way, people still want to talk about what Doug Peterson did, Eagles head coach. Axe Max is next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Here we go. Steven from Philly says, Raj and I have a, let me just, before we begin, Raj and I have a Zoom link up. This is how it is during COVID, guys. So we have, I have a laptop here, as you can see on ESPN Plus, and there's a Zoom hookup, and Raj has a Zoom hookup. What Raj fails to understand is, in order for me to see him, he needs to make some kind of noise, so the Zoom, there it is, see, now he's laughing, and now I can see him. So he's trying to give me visual cues. But he's not making any noise, so I'm just looking at myself in the screen. Good job, Raj. Steven from Philly, diehard Eagles fan. He agrees with me on firing Howie Roseman, but Jeffrey Lurie will never do it. Well, great. I hope Jeffrey Lurie doesn't do it. I hope he keeps Roseman. I hope he keeps Doug Peterson. I'm a Giants fan. I want them to keep this dysfunctional situation in place. You know, people keep, well, the Giants controlled their own fate, and it's their fault. Right, I get it. I'm a Giants fan, and I'm extra mad about what Peterson did. Like, I tweeted when he did it, "You are my enemy, Doug Peterson." But that is as a Giants fan. As a football fan, let's say this was happening in the AFC North. Let's say it was the Ravens and the Steelers and the Browns who were involved in that. I'd be ticked off. If I'm in New York watching that stuff, I'd be mad, man. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought I was watching a game. It got flexed to primetime. There's, you know, two divisional rivals are playing each other. And if Mike Tomlin pulled Ben Roethlisberger against the Browns and somehow that stuck it to the Ravens, I'd be like, nah, man, come on. Anyway, look, Jeff, I think Doug Peterson's a good coach. And the reason I say that is because this dude has done very well whenever he's had a quarterback who just did what he asked. But and maybe Peterson's hands have been tied. I don't know. But Roseman, this guy hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler in almost half decade now. Tarek in New Jersey, Doug Peterson's move to pull Hurts was about looking to the future, and that's okay. You know what I haven't heard anyone say? Here's something I could maybe, or at least is the strongest argument. Peterson pulled Hurts because he didn't want him to get hurt. He didn't want Hurts to get hurt in the fourth quarter of a game. I haven't heard anyone talk about that. But even then, hold on. I need to know, can this guy be the franchise quarterback? Can you conduct a fourth quarter comeback and play spoiler to a divisional rival in primetime by keeping them out of the playoffs in a one-score game? Might you want to know about that, particularly without your weapons on the field and when the trend of your play is going south? Can you right the ship? Can you get it going in the right direction again? Yeah, I'd like, if I was an Eagles fan, I'd like to see that. The idea that looking to the future, you want to see what your third stringer can do. Get out of here. Rick from Brooklyn, why is Doug Peterson not getting fired? Listen, if I were Jeffrey Lurie, honestly, he'd be gone by the next morning. Everyone, I'd clean house by the next morning. This has gone on too long. With the Eagles, it's really ridiculous. You think about what they went through with Carson Wentz. It was a total mess. Even before this, I was saying you got a clean house if you're the Eagles. Will from Maine. Can anyone besides Fields or Lawrence help the Patriots? Listen. I'm not convinced that Cam Newton can't be that guy. It usually takes you a full year to recover from a catastrophic injury and then another year to get back to your original level. Well, Cam Newton just got back. He didn't have the whole year to get back to where he was, and it was with a new team during COVID where they couldn't practice, bereft of offensive weapons, and he got COVID. It's a whole lot of. Heard what the caller said about Peterson? Hear what the player said? Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.